You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to Kingdom Ministries International with Pastors Freeman and Twana Williams, where we love families, change neighborhoods, and impact communities with the gospel of the kingdom. We are convinced you will hear and see God's love for you as you advance towards your fulfillment of your life's purpose in Christ.
Woo! Judges 6. Come on, let's go to Judges 6. Unusual methods is standard for you as a leader. Unusual methods. Get a car payment too high, you standing there crying. No, find a job that you can drive that car so that job will pay for that car. I'll say that again, maybe you missed that. You know the car payment was too high, you said it was faith. That's another story. That's a whole nother story. If your car payment is close to your mortgage and your check can't answer both phone calls, you a little bit too far. So you get the car, you find out how to utilize the car for another service so that the car service will pay for the car. Come on. See, what we do is our imagination has been brought down to a level so low that we're trying to solve earthly problems with earthly resources. The Father wants you to use heaven. He wants you to use heaven's resources because then it's already taken care of.
Amen.
Watch this. Judges 6. This is the story of Gideon. All right. Now watch. Gideon was a nice guy, you know, lowest of the clan, did all that stuff. But in verse 36, watch this. This is a very funny thing, but it's so simple. So Gideon said to God, when God called him, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said," see that? "Look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on the ground, then I shall know you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said." And it was so, when he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together, he wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. See that? Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me, but let me speak just one more. Let me test, I pray. Just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but on all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night, and it was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew all on the ground. Gideon is a leader. He's asking the Father, do something unusual. If this is what you called me to do, make the fleece wet and the ground dry. And he said, it was enough to wring out a bowl of water the next morning. Then he said, "One more time, if you don't mind, just one more test." Come on, that's what he said, one more test. Do the opposite. And he did it. He said, "Okay, you got me. You got me." Why? Because you changed my way of thinking. Because when the angel first came, he said, "Gideon, mighty man of valor." He began to tell him, "I'm the least of the clans. Out of all the clans of Manasseh, I'm the least. My family, the smallest, we live over there. We don't have anything going. We have all this." And he did all that talking. And then finally he said, "I'll tell you what, God's going to talk to you," whatever. And he said, "Okay, God's talking to me. Then make the fleece wet. Boom. Make the ground dry. Boom. Yes, sir." Why? I'm the man.
Yes.
I'm the leader. Yes. I'm the image of your leader. Come on. How many times in your life have you asked him to do something? And he's done it. "If you deliver me, I'll serve you." Come on, you never said it, you're lying. Come on, you said it. You've been in some situations, "God, if you get me out, I promise I'll serve you with all my heart." Come on now, raise your hand if you ever said it. Let's be honest. Come on, raise your hand. Come on, lift your hand up high, Christians, saints. All right. Some of us need to lift our foot. We done said it and done fooled. We're back on our word, right? Okay, I know everybody's not going to agree with that. Look back on our word. "Lord, if you deliver me, I'll serve you with all my heart." Bottom of the screen, 2 years later, you, hey. It never happened to you, though, I know. It's too deep. Why is that important? Because leaders think outside the box. You cannot think like everyone else because you're not like everyone else. You are unorthodox. People think you crazy. Some of the revelation that I hear, if I tell you, you'll think I'm way out there. Most of you, anywhere you do anyway, so it don't matter to me. Sometimes I talk to people, they're like, what? I have certain people I can talk to, and there's certain people I talk around. Because when you tell them certain things, they're like, what? When I told people, I said, "You know, you have angels following you in chariots." What? And I showed them in the scriptures. "Where you get that from?" Right here. So some things you just can't tell everybody. Because they'll think you crazy. And you are crazy in compared to the world system. Because the writer said God takes the foolish things of the world. Come on. Come on. So it's foolish to ask for a fleece. Now watch, one more. We're going to go to our king, Mark 7. Mark chapter 7. We're going to go to the king. And I know it's going to be a lot of ughs. Now, Pastor, watch. I know it's going to be there. I know it. I can hear it already. Mark 7, 33. Yep. Thank you, Father. This is a deaf, mute man that Christ healed. Ready? Mark 7, 33. And he took him aside from the multitude. Anytime you are in leadership, God will bring you out. Amen. It is mandatory to remove you from your environment.
Yes.
Are you listening?
Yes.
So you don't go to a church anymore, you attend a kingdom. You see.
Amen.
And he put his fingers in his ears and he spat and touched his tongue. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephphatha. That is, be opened. And immediately his ears were open, and the impediment of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke plainly. Mm. Now, you imagine the Messiah calling you aside. Mm-hmm. You can't hear. You can't speak. He grabbed your hand. He take you from everybody. And he put his fingers in your ears, and he spit, and he put it on your tongue. Tell you, stick your tongue out. Come on, everybody, stick your tongue out. Most of you won't even do it because you're thinking, ugh. Right? Come on, you're thinking, ugh. Because where is it being ugh at? Where? In your mind. But for him, it was freedom.
Yeah.
He's sitting there. He put it on there and he said, be opened. He looked up. Be opened. And it was opened and he began to hear and speak. He didn't have to learn how to speak. You got to get this.
Glory.
He never spoke before. But because it went back to the original way it was, he didn't have to learn language. It was in it. See, he didn't have to go to school and have a teacher sit there and teach him enunciation and pronunciation. The master touched him. The word touched him and gave him his words back. Come on, you got to see that. See, leaders are unorthodox. They don't follow rules. To the Pharisees, they were supposed to take him and pray for him on a certain day in hope. He said, come on, boop, boop, there you go. Come on. Another guy, I need to see. He said, okay, spit on the ground, made paste, put it on his eyes and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. He said, go wash, you'll be fine. Come on, you got to see this. Come on, you remember the funeral procession, they out there crying. He walked by, touched the casket. The Bible never says he touched the boy. Says he touched the casket. And the little boy sat up. Come on. Come on. Let me tell you something. Most of you, you can say what you want to say. You're thinking the same thing Pastor Tuana said. Those sandals would have been wore out. You would have been taken off down that dirt road. What happened? Don't talk to me till we get home. Come on now. You know what you would have took off. That's what I'm saying. The leaders, our leaders have become so soft and they're so far in the back, they won't even take courage. They won't even take courage to come forward anymore because in their mind, they don't even see themselves as leaders. And their imagination is so low that they take their imagination, they bring it down and they fit into any society. And whatever the method is in that society, they adapt to it instead of using heaven's resources. And we fit in and we focus on the society rather than the kingdom. Even in our lives, you need breakthrough. Instead of you praying, you walk around and talk about the problem. You spend 20 minutes on the problem and 7 seconds in prayer. 20 minutes later, I don't know what I'm going to do. Lord, you know my heart. Lord, you know I know you can do anything. Now, what did that do?
Nothing.
That was just your emotional, a pen or religious act for nothing. All right, three more for leaders. Come on, three more. We're almost done. You're getting something.
Yes.
Now, this is where we're going to laugh. Leaders, they challenge their own success. In other words, they get bored quickly because they don't live in the past. In other words, if God did a miracle for you in 2012, you're not still talking about it like you're still there. You make mention of it, but you don't park there. So leaders challenge their own successes. We did something, something came out, things moved up. Yes, great, but we can do better.
Yes.
Come on. And they get bored quickly. That's what a leader, just like all of you. Come on, you buy a brand new furniture set Monday. By Wednesday, you holding us out of your jaw. I wonder. I should have bought the, right?
Yeah.
Leaders get bored quickly. Another one. Now, this is a big one. Leaders challenge conventional thinking and traditions. Leaders challenge conventional thinking and traditions. So when people come to you and tell you what can't be done, as a leader, I'm going to be honest with you, I love you, but most of the time I don't even hear you.
Okay.
I don't even hear you because what you're saying doesn't line up with what I've been seeing and what's been going on in my heart and mind. So when you say, oh, Pastor, we can't do this, you know what I tell you? Can't to me is the ultimate surrender for you refusing to embrace what Christ made available for you. So people who say can't all the time, those are the people I don't try to use.
Right.
Not because I don't love you, but I love you enough not to use you. Okay.
Amen.
Can't do this. We can't do that. We don't incorporate me into this. We can't do this, Pastor. I don't see it. It's not there. No, you're not there.
Right.
And last one. Watch this. Leaders engage in the unknown with faith and courage. Leaders engage in the unknown with faith and courage. It takes a lot to be a leader, because there's really nobody who set the standard for what you're about to do. Nobody set the standard. You're the model for what's going to happen.
Amen.
Come on, you got to get that. You're the model. And being the model of what's about to happen, sometimes fear comes,
yes.
Doubt comes, anguish comes, anxiety comes, frustration comes. People who have said words to you for years, you start remembering things back when people told you what you couldn't do. All those things are bombarding you. That's why you need to understand how to get past that and move out of it. You have to have faith and courage. Courage is the ability to realize that you can do all things through Christ.
Amen.
Your limitations have already been acknowledged when you came to the cross. Come on, you got to understand. When you came and asked Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior and to live for you, and you want to die so he can live for you and you can live right, you've acknowledged that I have limitations, that I can't do this, that I need all the help I can get, and the only help I have is you.
Amen.
Are you understanding?
Yes.
So engage the unknown with faith and courage. That is important because you are a leader. You are the image of leadership. Now what, I'm going to tell you one great thing that we've taken for granted that will change your life as a leader right now. You know one thing that we don't do that we used to do a little while ago and we kind of got away from it? You ready? Silence. Silence, write this down in your notes. Silence is mandatory for leaders.
Yeah,
amen. Silence is mandatory for leaders.
Yeah.
It is so, Satan is throwing so much stuff at you. He doesn't want you in silence. Why is that important? Go to Zephaniah 1:7, the book of Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 7. Zephaniah chapter 1. Verse 7. I know a lot of people don't know what Zephaniah is. It's right after Habakkuk. It's after Habakkuk, that other book you don't read. There you go. Go to the front of the Bible and look it up. Zephaniah. Boy, I tell you. Zephaniah. Let me say it one more time. Chapter 1, verse 7. It says this. Be silent in the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand, for the Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has invited his guests. Now, why is this important? Because this is about your prayer life.
Yes.
Leaders must pray. But watch. But once you have prayed, it is now mandatory that you be silent.
Yes.
Why? Because how is God going to communicate with you? Say, my heart.
My heart.
His spirit.
His spirit.
And my imagination.
My imagination.
So now, in the silence, the things that you couldn't do or the things you couldn't